taking a look how God destroyed Sodom and saved Lot on Passover. So go to Genesis 19. We're looking at all the things that the Haggadah says came to pass on Passover.
Now, does it get specific in there about the reason Sodom was destroyed? You know, we say it's because they didn't treat the poor well, but they got to put a long dissertation on the homosexuality appearance.
No, I'm sure it was for many things. It wasn't just one thing. I mean, they were totally reprobate. The sign of their reprobate, being reprobate, was that it wasn't homosexuality. The sign of it was that they did all those tricks to not take care of the poor.
Is that clear in here?
No, that's from the Talmud.
Tradition.
That's tradition.
As far as the Bible goes, it's pretty clear what they're saying, that it was the reason.
Well,
you can't ignore that.
No, I'm not ignoring it. I'm saying that's not what we've ever said. There's no ignoring it. But Ezekiel says the same thing. Ezekiel says the reason that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed was because of how they treated the poor. So it's not something you just made up.
Or the stranger, wasn't it the stranger?
Yeah, it was strangers. You're right.
I've never read it.
You
want to
read
exactly
it?
I guess you get it from other spots. But
no, it's in Ezekiel. Yeah. Okay, elsewhere.
The one in Genesis has it. Pretty straightforward appearance.
All right.
You're pretty firm on that, Gary. You're pretty sure of that.
Well, that's what it says.
Okay. Where can you tell me?
We read it yesterday. We read it.
It's in from Genesis chapter 19, 4 through 14 is where it talks about that. But we're not going to look at that again. 4 through 14. But let's go to Genesis 19, 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise and take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought them forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And that my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape there, for I cannot do anything until thou become there." That just sounds weird. "Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord of heaven, out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God had destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Now his wife, remember, when she looked back, in Hebrew it says she looked back longingly, and that's why she was destroyed. Now, on chapter 19, verse 3 is where all this took place within that. It was the end of Passover. You know, you eat unleavened bread the whole 7-8 days of Passover. In verse 3 it says, and he pressed upon them the angels greatly, and they turned in unto him, and he entered into his house.
Where did we go?
Chapter 19, verse 3. Didn't I say that? And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and he entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain were destroyed. But something happened that was even more dramatic. The Jordan River ran from up in the mountains of Lebanon all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba. And so, and it was a verdant valley. It was, remember, when that's the part that Lot chose over Abraham, chose the mountain, barren kind of place, and Lot chose the verdant, wonderful looking place. And when this event occurred, it created a dam of the Jordan River. And so now the Jordan River flows only into the Dead Sea. And all of that area, all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba, which if you had a map you could see it's quite a ways, is now just a total and complete wasteland, as is the Dead Sea. And
satellite, you can see the path of the...
Yeah, you can see it in maps.
Yeah.
But my point is this, is that God, when he does something like that, it doesn't just affect the one involved, namely the people of Sodom and those five cities that were around it, but it affected, in this case, the entire Middle East, because that was a verdant valley that produced all kinds of goodies for Jordan and for other countries around there. And it was a mind-bending event. We could go into all the details about the various theories of how the things exploded, but I don't want to do that.
What happened exactly?
Well, there was a phenomenon, apparently, and according to geologists, that had this substance called pitch that was just below the surface of this area. And it was and it was petroleum-based fundamentally. It was happened, you know, during the layering of things, and then there was an earthquake, and lightning hit that pitch. And it just exploded. That's what the theory that I think happened.
And the result was exactly what?
The earthquake plus the
fire.
The fire of this pitch burns it. It melts rocks. It's so hot.
And it exploded up into the air, perhaps?
No, it exploded high into the air and then went all over the place.
It rained down.
And then it created the dam that produced the Dead Sea. And then it made everything else down a wasteland. But it destroyed everybody in five cities.
And it turned this verdant land into waste.
Right.
What's the time frame for this?
2000 BC, about.
What's it called scientifically? What?
I don't remember. There are many theories about what happened, but that's the one that I...
I've never heard this before.
But anyway, the point of it is what we're reading here. And the people of Sodom were treated to God's wrath when they were consumed in fire upon a Passover. Lot escaped from their midst and baked matzah at the end of the Passover. Then it goes backwards and says, Egypt's lands of Moph and Noph did thou sweep clean in passing through on the Passover. So, let's look at the next one. God, this is what everybody has just said, and you shall say a feast of Passover. And God, the issue of first strength, did thou bruise on the watch night of Passover. Mighty one over Israel's firstborn, did thou skip by the sign of the blood of Passover, that no destroyer might come unto my doors on the Passover. Now the only, this thing, where it says, God, the issue of first strength that thou bruise on the watch night of Passover, mighty one over Israel's firstborn did thou skip on the sign of the Passover. But what it says in Hebrew, and this is a, it's great, all kinds of stuff about it, it's, it should say, instead of Israel's firstborn, it said, God, your firstborn son. And they were seeing in the Passover the seed of Abraham protected all the way to Jesus. So in what this is saying is he protected his firstborn son on that Passover by the blood and the doorposts, which is a really, that's got to drive the Jewish scholars mad. When I spoke to that group of Jews, they invited me to speak, and I spoke for about 10 minutes about what I learned in the Old Testament, the Torah, and some of them really got mad, and they started doing their shtick about thinking Christians are stupid and all that. And then this old man in the back said, because this is one of the things I brought up, this is what it said in Hebrew. And this old man silenced everybody. I don't know who he was, but he was somebody that was highly respected. And he said, let him be, for he's only speaking the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I just started bawling. But that was the final one of the scriptures that they got mad at me about. So. Anyway, we don't need to go look at the doorpost again. We've seen that many times. All right. Now let's look at, it says the next one is Jericho. The well-locked city was given up to the Israelites in the time of Passover. Midian was destroyed by a barley cake from the Omer of Passover. The fat folk of Pul and Lud were burnt up in the blaze of fire on a Passover. Let's go to Joshua 5. I'm going to bring out my new Bible one day. Well, let's start in verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, but their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, and they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole or healed. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day, which means the taking away of. It says it. And the children of Israel encamped at Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn, anyone don't say corn, but of the old grain of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched grain in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morning after they had eaten of the old grain of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Well, let's go ahead. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I not come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. I believe this was Jesus, but not Jesus the Christ yet, just Jesus. Anyway. Now, this all is taking place on Passover, or in the Passover period. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given thee into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass or surround the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus thou shalt do for 6 days. And this was the counting of Omer should have just started about this time. So now, and you understand that this city is called the Wall of Fragrance, and in type it's the altar of incense within that holy place that's in us all. But it's all these other guys that are on the mountains of our mind that are using the altar. It's only legal for the high priest to have the altar of incense, the priest. And none of the guys up here are priests. So that's, remember, we read it in Ezekiel 8. Let's stop there and do that, because I want to remind that we're just now looking at Jericho, and Jericho is the first thing that they had to destroy And that's your mind. It's a type of your mind, and that's what we need to see here. So let's go back to Ezekiel 8. Or forward to, I should say. Now, this is where Ezekiel was taken by the Spirit and shown this temple. And what he's showing him is the mind of Son of Man. Your mind, my mind. And it's a place we don't want to look into, so... Let's start in verse 5. Then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. And he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go afar off from my sanctuary? Return thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Now, this is one of several times in the Bible and the prophets where God is saying that I should go far off from my sanctuary. And you go far off from your sanctuary, you take him off when you pray in his name about something that's going to happen or may happen in the future. And God, in eternity, you can only be in now. Everything has to be now. So when you send your messenger, you try to send God afar off because you're dealing with something in your mind that is leading you, that's guiding you, pulling you. Instead of being at rest, your works lead you instead of follow you. This is what this is talking about, okay? The abominations that they do. Turn thee yet again, and I will show, shall see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Now, every time that we've seen the hole in the wall, it's a hole in the wall of your mind in which you have seen that maybe something is screwed up. And all the rest of the time, when you've seen a hole, you temper it with untempered, you cover it with untempered mortar. Because you don't want to look in there. So don't go down into that basement. So anyway, so now you're finally at that position of poverty, of paktos, when you're tired of all the games and the magician tricks and the sorcery of your mind, and you're tired of it all. And so you see the hole this time, you hear the Spirit saying, this time don't cover it up, this time dig. And he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed on the wall round about. Now there's nothing new under the sun. The same idols that were had in this time, which was about 600 BC, are the same idols that all men have. They're just different emphasis on different things. All right, so now, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. There are 7 mountains and 10 kings on each mountain. 70. Your Sanhedrin, your guidance of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jazaniah. And Jazaniah is just another name for the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. The son of Saphon. And Saphon is a rock rabbit, those little conies that are in the desert. They're little teeny rabbits, and they're harmless. With every man his censer in his hand. got all these guys working. And a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagination or imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Every time there's a problem set before you, an issue that you see, think you have to deal with, then you're saying the Lord has forsaken the earth. You as the earthen vessel. And you go to work here to solve the issue. And you've done that your whole entire life. But it's never, it's always been, your identity has always been Seth, I'm Jezaniah. Masquerading as you. Does that communicate to anybody? You've always been this vessel for deity, the evil one. That's why you are sin. Sin isn't what you do, it's who you are. Trespass is what you do. That's why they had to have a trespass offering and a sin offering. Sin offering comes first, and then a trespass offering. The rest of it, you can't get any farther than that altar, the burnt offering, and it's outside the camp. Not the burnt offering, but to burn that sin offering. You can't even get to the trespass offering and the labor and the burnt offering and all the rest of the stuff. Because you're still outside the camp. Because you're still depending on this thing. You haven't seen that you are sin, and sin died on the cross. So that's what the parable of what we're studying in, we'll do it tomorrow again, but of Jericho. That's why the first thing when they cross the Jordan, the first thing after your baptism, is you have to deal forever with that city of fragrance.
I never had, as many times we talked about the sin offering being done without the camp. Now, I mean, that's the first time it ever clicked that it was because you can't even enter into camp, so to speak, without having this thing.
Amen.
Crucified.
You can go kind of look at it and see it afar the same as they did in the essence. Anybody have any response to all this? It's kind of heavy. It's kind of important.
A question about why do some Jewish scholars say that the taking of Jericho happened on Rosh Hashanah rather than Passover?
I've never seen that.
Oh, okay. I thought we had that in our memos.
I don't think so. Right. I don't know. I don't remember if we do, but it's obvious here it's done at Passover. You're yelling, Mr. Buckner.
Thinking about what Pete said, it's like that. It's we apprehend it, and that's what we can do is see it, understand it,
and never again use it.
And then it's there.
But you never again use your mind.
Well, is that true?
Well, if you any use of your mind is sin. Because you resurrected the evil one, or he's conned you into resurrecting.
And then what do? You remember the apprehension, and you
remember that anything without faith is sin.
And you turn and say,
you see your death again.
Yeah.
But you can't use this thing with impunity any longer. No matter how important you think it is to use it. You think it's important when you think God has forsaken the earth. Now, I was fortunate above fortunate because I knew that I couldn't do anything to help myself. And I was ready to die. I was cold and hungry. Stupid homeless people were there. And I said, God, Did I not hear or see correctly? Is this what you want? You want me to die here? I will. And then I heard internally that I've seen your loneliness, I've seen your fears, I've seen your guilt and frustration. I've seen your endless search for love and fulfillment. All this had to be in order for you to come completely to the end of your own understanding. Then, and only then, can you hear my voice. Listen carefully amid the noise of the world and you will hear. I love the real you. I created you to be just as you are. Don't criticize yourself for not being perfect in your own eyes. That leads only to frustration. I want you to trust me one day, step, 1 second at a time. Dwell in my power and be my love and be free. Be yourself. I give you love and joy and peace and patience. No one else can. But take your eyes off yourself. I lead. I change. I create. But never when you are trying. For I cannot fight your efforts. Let me have the joy of making you like Christ. My love is sufficient. My will is perfect. I will supply your every need with no effort on your part. I love you, your Heavenly Father. I've never doubted a day since. I got pissed off and tried to prove it wrong. But
like a pillar.
You can't live in both worlds. Either on the mercy seat or you're in time and space. It's time and space. There's no in between.
Part word. You said I can't fight your efforts. And I've often thought about that. And it's like the very nature of love prevents fighting.
Well, it's the nature of humility. And much too love. But I mean, that's it. He always takes the lowest seat.
There's never the obligation. It's opposite.
Yeah. You can't compel.
So I mean, that's why he lets people just do their thing. So the only thing is that they got to come to the place when I'm gonna do my thing anymore. When you come to the end of yourself, no matter where you are in the world, there he is. But it has to be at the end of you. This will just take a second, but I heard of, you know, we've had so many people come through here that were drug addicts and alcoholics and stuff, and there was NPR yesterday, there was a program where they've done a scholarly examination of the 12-step program for Alcoholics Anonymous and NAA and now all these other, it is now used in everything. And that's the first time that he said that there was ever been a study of the effectiveness of it. And it's less effective than if the people were just left alone.
I missed what you were actually talking about. What's
the 12-step program?
Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step program.
Okay.
Is it worse for an addict than just leaving the addict?
I believe the reason is because you come and say, my name is X and I'm an alcoholic. My name is X and I'm dead.
Yeah, otherwise you've identified yourself.
You keep yourself alive and you encourage suffering.
Right, and your efforts are to get that thing to be better.
Now, again, I'm just telling you what I heard, but remember that joke we had in the door? It was a panel of this guy going up the 12 steps, and he got to the 11th step, and he fell on his face. Anyhow, just see it. It's you don't have to just be tired of the rest of the crap. Father, I'm yours without condition. Those little gimmicks, nothing works except your death and the seeing of it. Seeing that you are sin itself. How can you ever again think you're better than somebody? Or ever again look at anyone down? Amen? That's what Passover should see. Your death.
It was interesting that inside that door, there were no requirements. If you were inside, blood posts covered with blood.
Right. That was the beginning of the beginnings. That wasn't salvation.
It doesn't matter. You're inside, you're covered.
Right.
And period. That whatever happens after that is something else. But it's like you don't have to do tricks to get to the other side of the door or form or anything. Just get there.
All right. Take it, big guy.